Okay. Can we have a couple people help me with the communion? In John chapter 10, verse 11, it tells us that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's just exactly what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. He laid down his life for us. John 10:10 says, "The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to have the Zoe kind of life. When you partake of the communion, I want you to let the love of God just flow into you. Let His healing flow into you so that you can receive His fullness, so that you can receive the best He has to offer you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." When you get born again, you've been set free. Completely, 100%. Now you don't have to look at this and examine yourself trying to find some kind of sin in you, because that's been taken care of. You've been placed in Christ, and He wants you to partake of the communion with excitement, and He wants you to see the sacrifice of His Son. When we discern the body of Christ, we see that this body has been beaten and bruised for us, and we look and we see that there is stripes in this bread, and it's by His stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced, and Jesus' body was pierced, and everywhere His body was pierced, He shed blood. And we get freedom in certain areas every time He shed His blood. And this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. Now, we can live our lives without fear and condemnation. We thank You for Your broken body, and we're receiving this for our healing. The shed blood of Jesus completely washed away your sins. The minute you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, He washed away your sin. 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. The blood of Jesus has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that you can boldly enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. It's because of the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did that we qualify for anything that we ever get from heaven. It's never about us. It's always about Him. We thank You for this. All right. I guess since there's no children's, open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to study an account of Jesus, our high priest, how he dealt with people, how he dealt with the religious mafia, how he dealt with the law. You know, there's still a religious mafia out there, don't you? Sometimes I wonder just how hard the devil has to work when he's got the religious order in high gear. That's always pointing out, look what he did. Look what she did. You did that wrong. You didn't do this right. I'm going to show you an account where Jesus really fondled with their religious order. Really messed them up. But I want to do this so that we can get to our study on 1 John, where we're going to get into 1 John chapter 5. Don't go there, but we've been talking about prayer. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1 and in Ephesians chapter 3, we studied those two prayers in there. But we need to have this gift of no condemnation in our hearts. We need to understand what Jesus did for us on that cross for us to have confidence before God. It's very important to do that. But we're going to build a foundation for that. And right here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered? And they that are with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now Jesus got after these guys. The disciples were hungry, so they ate. And the religious mafia started poking fingers at them, saying, look, they're not doing this right. And he said, knock it off. He said he'd have mercy and not sacrifice. And then he pointed out how even those religious people weren't doing everything right either. He'll have mercy over sacrifice anytime. That's one of the things about the Ark of the Covenant. If you've ever noticed that the law, the tablets of the law are in the Ark of the Covenant, and Aaron's rod that budded, it's in there, and the manna from heaven is in there, but it's all covered with the mercy seat. God will have mercy over judgment every time. These guys got mad at him because they ate without asking, or not Jesus, but the religious mafia got mad at these guys because they ate. It's pitiful. Modern day people will say, oh, if he'd have just asked. Well, they should have already known. But here's the deal. Jesus wants you to operate in mercy. And here's a big example of that. Verse 9 says, When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. They asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. He said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the others. This man was in the synagogue. He had obviously been going to church for a long time. And he was there serving God to the best of his ability, evidently. And Jesus, seeing his faith, he told him to reach forth his hand, and his hand was healed whole at that very moment. That's mercy. He did that on the Sabbath day. He wants you to understand that he wants to have mercy on you. Compassion on you. See, a lot of times people get this idea that they have to have this pumped up faith, and the Bible does tell us that the just shall live by faith. But here's the key to great faith, is to see the great mercy and the great grace and the great compassion that Jesus has for you. That's how faith builds in your heart, when you see what he's done for you. When you see him in his mercy, he'll see you in your faith. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 12. Sometimes people get a little bit confused about where they stand with God. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Says, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There, Jesus has given us the key to having our needs met. He says, Seek first the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So how do we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Well, number one, when you get born again, the kingdom of God moves on the inside of you. He's in there. He's in there. Now we can look inside for the answers that we need. We can look inside for our needs to be met, because the living God moved on the inside of you when you got born again. Then the biggest thing, he said, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we're always trying to earn the things that we need. You know, it's important to work. Don't get confused about this. You get a job, you go get some leather gloves, and you get out there and you get busy. But here's the thing. The things that you're going to get from God cannot be earned. They can only be received. The only way we're going to have confidence before God is to understand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness means right standing. Not right doing. There's a false teaching around that says righteousness is right doing. That's not true. You will do right things because you're the righteousness of God. But you're not going to earn things from God because you're doing right things. You're going to believe right, which means you are in right standing with God. The minute you got born again, the blood of Jesus took everything that was wrong between you and God and washed it away. And he put you in right standing with him in Christ Jesus. You can look at it this way. when your teacher sent you home to do your homework and you was going to come back the next day and turn your assignment in, if you turned your assignment in on time, you were in right standing with your teacher. Right? If you didn't, I had a lot of practice at this one. If you didn't turn your assignment in on time, you were not on right standing with your teacher. Which means you may not get to go out on the playground. You might have to stay in and write sentences or something. Or you might wear out a paddle or two. But that's according to the law. See, according to the law, if we do right and do the things that we're supposed to do and not do the things we're not supposed to do, then the blessings of God fall on us because we're in right standing. Right? But nobody's ever been able to fulfill the law. Only Jesus could fulfill the law. And then, when Jesus got on the cross and died for our sins, and we got born again, he put us into the dispensation of grace. Which now, because in him, because we're in him, we qualify for his blessings because of him, because of what he did. See, you got to take the pressure off of yourself. Now, does this give you license to be a rat? No. No. The Bible tells us if you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, you shall rule and reign over sin. People that are trying to conquer sin all the time continuously fail to conquer sin because they're trying in their own effort. They're trying in their own flesh to beat whatever it is they're trying to beat. When they take that and turn it over to Christ and believe that he is their righteousness, then they get a superpower on the inside of them to beat whatever it is they're trying to beat when they turn it over to him. But everything's got to be in him. I want you to turn over to Galatians. Right. Gentiles eat pork chops. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Gentiles eat pork chops. Those four books in the Bible spent a lot of time talking about what Christ done for us, what he's doing for us right now, talking about our standing with God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Stop at that verse right there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You need to take your favorite crayon and circle that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. When a man is keeping the law, if he failed the law, then he could expect the curse to come on him. But if he kept the law, then he could expect the blessing of God to fall on him. Now we have Christians running around by the hundreds of thousands that think if they do good, then God's going to bless them. But if they make a mistake, God might take my job, he might take my finances, he might give me a sickness, he might do this, he might do that, or something bad's going to happen to me. And then that's how we end up with what we call schizophrenic Christians. schizophrenia. One minute they're up, one minute they're down. One minute they think God's blessing them, one minute they think God's mad at them. Why? Because they're depending on their own righteous works to be blessed by God. And that won't do. It won't do. I want you to look over here, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, the only thing that keeps us from the pit of hell is Jesus. That's why I got born again. I got me some fire insurance. I didn't want to go to hell. That makes a lot of religious people mad. But that's all I knew. Somebody said, you don't have to go to hell if you'll just ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He'll save you from hell. Man, my hand went up in the air so fast I could have broke the sound barrier. I didn't want to go to hell. That was my way out. I knew I was on my way to hell. That was my ticket out. And that's all I knew, is that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and God raised him back to life. And I asked him to be my Lord and I confessed him to be my Lord. Everything else that you're ever going to get from God is going to be by the same way. You're going to believe in your heart and you're going to confess it with your mouth. If you need healing in your body, you're going to have to find in the Bible where it says, by his stripes you were healed. You're going to have to look at that for a little bit. You're going to have to understand what happened there. Jesus went to the whipping post and he got scourged. He got these whip marks on his back and they drug that flesh and his skin off, exposed his bones, and it was for your healing. It was for your healing. So we look at that and we meditate on it and we study, we come to realize that it's ours and it's already been paid for. He did it 2,000 years ago. Our job is to say, okay, I believe that and I receive that. And then you confess it with your mouth. Say, hey, by his stripes I was healed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. You know what that means? That means when you make a mistake, God's not there to punish you. Now, the Bible does tell us to give no place to the devil. So you don't want to run around and be an idiot doing stupid things, making mistakes. You know, some people take this grace teaching as a license to just go crazy and say, I can do this because I'm saved by grace. No, you can't, because there is consequences to be paid. It's not going to be from God, but there's a devil running around out there. Did you know that? There's a devil running around out there that is waiting for you to tear your hedge of protection down, get away from your safety net, and you do that by doing these things. God said, hey, don't do this. Then you go out there and do it anyway as an act of your own free will. There's not much God can do about that. And the devil has a shot at you. And then people say, well, I did this and God punished me for it. You know, God gets the blame for a lot of things that he didn't do. John 10:10 tells us that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's from the devil. It's not God's fault. It's from the devil. God did not allow it. He gave us a free will. And we have choices. We make choices. I can't remember the number of choices that they said that we have every day, but we get bombarded with choices. Every day we got all these choices to make. And we have a free will to make those choices. People say, well, why would God send somebody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. He didn't create hell for man. God has the Lamb's Book of Life. And he puts our names in that Lamb's Book of Life. And it tells us to make sure that we don't get our names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way to do that is to not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have these earthen vessels, and that's what we are. We are earthen vessels, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us. He quickens our mortal bodies. It's Christ in us that strengthens our spirits. And it's Christ in us that strengthens our souls. But it's Christ in us. When we feed the Christ in us, when we feed our spirits with the Word of God, that gets bigger. It gets stronger. It builds our faith. When you focus on what Jesus did for you on that cross, in his death, burial, and his resurrection, you know, these new creation realities, how that he justified you freely by his grace. When God raised you back, when God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified freely by his grace. The minute you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you got made a new creature in Christ. A new creature. Think about that for a second. You know something about a new creature? It doesn't have a past. That's good news. I spent a lot of time wishing that I could just start life over on a clean slate. And I got born again. And I kept wishing that I could start life over on a clean slate. I didn't realize that when I got born again, I started life over on a clean slate. As far as God's concerned, your past is washed away. Your old man died. It's gone. You're a new creature in Christ. You're a new man in him. That will help somebody quit worrying about the past. Quit being remorseful about the past. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus. God doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't want you to remember it. And he wants you to quit reminding him of it. You're clean by the blood of Jesus. You're free. He wants you to walk in confidence with him. Now go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He wants the blessing of Abraham to come on the Gentiles. That's us. We were Gentiles. Did you know that? Unless you were a Jew. You was a Gentile before you got born again. Then once you got born again, something miraculous happened. Look at verse 29. It says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, the minute you got born again, you became a Christian. You became sole property of the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns you now. You used to be owned by the devil. But now, when you got born again, you got owned by God. He took ownership of you. You got baptized into the body of Christ. But I didn't get water baptized. I don't care. When you got born again, you got baptized into the body of Christ. I mean, your life is swallowed up in His. And you became Abraham's seed, but I'm not a Jew. They're not the same seed as we are. We're seeds of faith. And we became heirs according to the promise. We became heirs of everything that Abraham had. Well, what did Abraham have? And pretty much everything. Well, Melchizedek met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. He come walking up to him and he said, blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Possessor of heaven and earth. Not only did Abraham have a lot of cattle, sheep, goats, and camels, and men servants and maid servants, and however much treasure he might have. But he had heaven and earth, all of it. That's what you fell heir to. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is a key, one of your key things to receiving from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You are no longer bound to the law, the Ten Commandments. You're not bound to that mess. You can't keep it anyway, so stop trying. You're in Christ Jesus. Now, you have three laws to keep. You have the law of liberty, the law of love, and the law of faith. I'm going to focus on that law of liberty. We are liberated from the Old Testament law, and we have been placed in Christ in the New Testament, in the new dispensation of grace, where we receive without working. The Bible tells us, remember in the prayers in Ephesians, where it tells us that we've been seated in Christ at the right hand of God in heavenly. You mean when you're sitting down, you're not working. When you're sitting down, all you can do is receive. The first step to learn how to walk by faith is to sit by faith. That means we have to sit here and realize that we've been justified by faith. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus. That we are righteous by faith. We have to sit here and realize we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But by His stripes we were healed. We have to sit here and realize, for we know the grace of His Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, and we through His poverty might be made rich. We have to understand that our God will supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have to understand that He is our protector. He's the only one that can protect us. Then we can look at Psalms 91 in a whole new level. We're not trying to get to a place where we can earn His favor and protection. We've already been placed in that favor. We have to activate it with our mouth. The same way you got born again, you had to activate your salvation with the words of your mouth. The Bible tells us that with the words of a man's mouth will his belly be satisfied. See, that's how we're going to get anything from heaven, is with the words of our mouth. Now you're going to have to take God's word and put it in your heart so that when you start running your mouth, it's going to have His words coming out of your mouth. And here's a really cool thing about when you speak His word forth. The Bible tells us that the angels hearken unto the voice of His word. You kind of get the idea from a lot of people that the angels hearken unto the voice of God. And they do. Don't ever be confused about this, but they do. But the Bible tells us that the angels hearken unto the voice of His word. So that means when you take God's word and speak it out of your mouth into the atmosphere, there's all these angels that suddenly have a commission. They've got a job to do. You got literally thousands of angels at your disposal. Not one bare-butted little guardian angel. You got great big angels. Thousands of them. And if you'll just speak God's word out into this atmosphere, give them something to work with, they'll cause God's word to be performed on your behalf. That's how we get the protection in gear. That's how we get healing in gear. That's how we get financial blessings in gear. Speak forth God's word out of your mouth. The same way you got born again. Well, we're out of time. But there's somebody listening. The people listen to these tapes all the time. We put them on the internet and we put them on Facebook, and you know, people listen to them. I was really shocked at how many people all over are listening to them. You've been hearing me talk about being born again, and that qualifies you for the blessings of God. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess in our mouth, with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That's our way to salvation. And just to qualify you even more, the Bible tells us that all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. I don't care how bad you may think you've been. I don't care how bad a mistake you think you've made. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Because it's with our mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with our heart we believe unto righteousness. So if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, I ask you to say this prayer with me out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. I want every head bowed and every eye closed, because it's a personal thing. We bow our head in reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbors. Just say this prayer out of your mouth, out loud, to be born again. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess you to be the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And if you just made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you to read your Bible, get a Bible. Read that thing. Listen to these tapes over and over and over again. Keep listening to them. Keep reading your Bible. And watch Jesus grow in your heart. And watch him get stronger and stronger inside of you. And he'll change you from the inside out. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. We thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. And everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us, guide us, and show us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. He makes us strong from the inside out. He's our comforter, too. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here. Come on back and fellowship.